Well, in the Bible, we have many examples of those that did not live according to God's way, and they highly influenced others. Take, for example, Eli in his reference to his son in 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 13, the Lord of heaven says through Samuel the prophet, Eli's sons make themselves vile, and Eli restraineth them not. God was not pleased with Eli's life because of the choice that he made in that regard. And as a result of that, he found himself not being pleasing in the sight of God. It was a sad thing that he was in that position. He had the rulership and the wellship of Samuel later on in his life. But nevertheless, he was in a situation where his sons were the primary influence of his life, and he made themselves vile. They're described in 1 Samuel chapter 2 as those who were worldly in their ways and mannerisms of life. They found themselves doing the things that they would do if someone were not looking on at them with women who came to worship together at Eli's leadership. All this was going on in a very vile way, and as a result, it is said they made themselves vile, wicked men, but Eli restrains them not. Take into consideration later on in Samuel's life as well. It is noted regarding him in 1 Samuel, a reference to their life, their ways of life, that his sons winked at the things that were being done. They walked not in the works of their father. And as a result of that, they found themselves perpetuating problems and troubles and battles, and they were not victorious. The judgment of God was overpowering against them. So it is the case that Samuel, as good a man as he was, and as much loved as he was by everybody, the people actually were fearful of his sons taking up charge of judgeship after his time, and therefore they did not wish that to take place, and they summoned for a king. They wanted a king to rule on us like other nations have kings. That was a terrible mistake on their part. God said it was, and they were that way in their ways of life. When we talk about this, we're talking about a way that is described in the Scripture that is not honorable in our God. Think about the way that we rear our children today, the way that we rear our grandchildren, and the way that we talk with others who rear their children. Are they those who do what they should do in regard to their children and care for them? In reference to this matter, we find in the Bible teachings regarding the rod and reproof and how that should be done. The wise man Solomon would even say that a child left to himself brings his mother to shame. A child left to himself brings his mother to shame. It is indeed a case where guidance and discipline are a part of it. Notice that it's not just discipline alone. It's not just the rod alone. It is rod and reproof. Words mean something, and words are there seriously done. And when that is the case, then 1, 2, 3 will work, as we've seen in more modern times. We've seen the codes explained to children, and they've come to an understanding of it better. The ideas that count in the way that we discipline children, calling to their parents to ask their assistance in helping us with those children in that regard, they find themselves better off as a result. When the pages of the Bible are open, we see good things that are there about it being done. We can see partiality in the lives of those who were part of the families in the patriarch time in the book of Genesis, how that Isaac loved Esau because he was one who ate of the venison and his ways. However, it was the case that Rebekah loved Jacob. And it was the case that this was going to be a deceptive young man. And in his deceptive ways, he took a battle victory over Esau. And as a result, God made a way whereby that one thing would be one of the leadership ways that he would work for the people of Israel. When I think about these sort of things, I think about the commands of God in regard to our daily walk of life. And I go to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, when he says regarding our great daily walk of life, that we're to be people who seek to follow the ways of God and do His right way. And if we do that, then we'll find a result of it far different than if we do not seek to do His way and do our own will in our own way. It's a sad thing to have that going on in life when we have one after another disruptions because of our conduct in life, instead of the fact that we would see better results from following God's will and God's way. You know, when we think about these particular things, we go to Luke chapter 14, beginning verse 28, and we read about the man that Jesus said would embark to build a tower, but he did not consider the cost of it. And when he was in midstream building this tower, he had to send for an ambassador of peace. He had to send for an ambassador of help. He could not finish that tower for lack of the cost that was involved. He did not weigh all the cost and all the materials that would be involved and how shameful it was. Jesus was using this to illustrate the principle by which they would follow Him, counting the cost so that they would realize that the cost could be grave and could be great if they followed Him. But if they followed Him, they would have, as I mentioned this morning in Matthew 5, in reference to this matter, they would find a reward. For therein Jesus said, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven." There's a heavenly place awaiting. If we find ourselves suffering for the Lord's sake, and even death occurring, we find that there's a place up in heaven. There's a place prepared for. There's a place where the Lord has said, you will have this reward in heaven itself if you follow this way that I've taught you, rather than to give it up and deny it and lay it aside. When this man was talking about there in Luke 14 of a man who was a battle captain, and he was leader, and he was wanting to go against someone with 20,000 foes when he did not have half the number to represent the cause that he had represented. And how he was in the midst of that battle and would send up a flag and call for an ambassador of peace because he was not ready for that battle, not prepared for that battle. As a result of that, he was not one that was to be honored. Again, that goes back to the idea of following Jesus. Knowing His cost and knowing the cost of following Him was important to the Lord and to the work of the Lord being done. When I find these things to be the case in the pages of God's Word, I raise this question to myself: what about those things of which we want to have good done, we want to have help that is done, but we just don't know exactly what's going to be the result? Well, the Scripture fortunately speaks to us regarding those different matters. In the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11, Solomon said, "As I looked to the things that were under the sun, I realized some very vivid principles." He said, "The race is not always to the swift." I know it says it in an emphatic sense there in our King James Version of the Scripture. As we read there, the race is not to the swift and the battle is not to the strong. It's not always to the swift and not always to the strong is the real meaning of it. The concept is the idea that men would prepare for a battle and prepare for a time to travel in an adequate way. Whereas, as looking at, we don't have a knowledge about that. We look at someone who appears to be so fast, so much speed is on their hands. The swiftness is there. They will surely win this race. But there is such a thing as a stomachache that happens. There's such a thing as a turned ankle that happens. I mentioned last week in the revival gospel meeting there at Jackson Grove, someone that they had knowledge of and well, because he was a Mississippi native, and it was Dizzy Dean. Dizzy Dean was quite a pitcher, and for St. Louis, he was victorious in so many ways, and just a power-packed pitcher in a good way. But in an All-Star game, he tripped over first base and broke, or at least wise extended, his right toe, his big toe. That changed the motion of his pitch with his arm and injured his arm. And it actually cut short his pitching number of years successfully, because he first off had this to happen to a toe. He adjusted the way that he would pitch the ball to favor that toe, and he ended up hurting his arm and not pitching the full length of his time. When we see here, the race is not always to the swift. The battle is not always to the strong. The winemaking is not always to those who have the finest of bread to be used, he says. But he closes that verse by saying, time and chance happened to them all. When we talk about time and chance, we're talking about an illness or sickness that takes place. We're talking about an accident that takes place. We're talking about a toe that's been hurt and an adjustment being made and how that changed one of the major league all-time legendary leaders from his work. We talk about this in life. We talk about things that we can see around us. And the scripture tells us that that's the way that we need to look at life. We're not to be so certain that the one that's fastest is always going to win, and the one's strongest is always going to be victorious. We go with the idea of time and chance happening to them all. When we think about God and his will in our lives, let's think about what Lord Jesus said regarding how we live unto the Heavenly Father and the Heavenly Father's will in life. Think about the Heavenly Father's desire for us, a desire that we serve his Son and follow his Son in a righteous way. We know the events that took place about Jesus' life and death and resurrection. Let's go down to the book of Hebrews chapter 1 in reference to that Son of God and how that he has a name that is fixed above every name. It is the case that Jesus serves so loyally and so faithfully the cause of his Heavenly Father that he was given a name that is charmed and above all. When you and I say the name of Jesus and think about him being our Savior, our Deliverer, our Lord, we think about the Jehovah of the Old Testament, the Bible, how he is Lord of our lives and Lord of our decision making. And the decision being made is the wonderful way. The psalmist will declare in passages like in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. That's the way that the Lord wants us to think of him as we labor in this whole world in which we do. And so instead of being so sure that I've got the ability to do this, and I've got the arm strength to do this, and I've got the build, I've got the circumstances of life to do this, I've got the materials to work with, and I'm going to be successful, let's go more humbly to the idea, and let's follow to serve the Lord in the strength that we have and the opportunity that we have, and thank the Lord from day to day for the privilege we have of doing the work and labor that we do. For we do not know what day and hour that time will come when changes will take place. And that's what James would tell the people in regard to his day and time. You rather ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and we shall do this or that. When those guys were there described by James, he says, they will say, we'll go in such and such a city, we'll buy there a year or two, we'll buy and sell and make much gain. Well, in their ideas, they had a way to buy low and sell high. They had a way of making much profit. They had a way that they could talk to one another about it. But they didn't know what the morrow would bring, he says. For as you know not what shall be on the morrow, things can change overnight. We talk about these things today. I don't know what the score will be tomorrow, but the things changed from Arkansas's vantage point yesterday to Ole Miss's standpoint this afternoon in much the same sort of ways. It changes. And when things change like that, we have the idea that we are be humble enough that we can't be so sure. When we get into a gambling mode and the idea that we're going to put all the wages on this one and this way and that way in order for it to be successful, it's not going to be successful because most of the money's been put on that particular person or most of the money's been put on that way of doing that. It's going to be successful because the time and chance worked in favor of that individual. And the time and chance worked in behalf of the individual who was prepared to do it. And now then it's successful in that way and that way only. It's not going to be just because there are a lot of people for it, a lot of people ranting and raving about it, and it's successful that way. No, it's going to be successful because time and chance offers help and aid to that person. The opportunity there for that person to build the tower that he's prepared in advance to build. And a person who looks at the future and says, well, we'll do this. Whereas you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and we shall do this or that. When we talk about the Lord will, it's more than just a statement about the Lord will, we'll make a trip. If the Lord will, we'll do this event. If the Lord will, we'll be this kind of person. If the Lord will, we'll have a gospel meeting in a few weeks, the latter part of July. Well, it's more than that. It's the idea of preparation for it, thinking about it ahead of time, and doing the good that we can do. And as a result of that, good can be accomplished. And we can thank God for the good that's been accomplished and the ways of life that we can follow and pursue. These are things in God's Word about how He wants to guide and direct our daily walk of life. We're talking about a daily walk of life when we talk about those things of which we've rehearsed tonight. How do we live from day to day? How do we behave from day to day? Do we do it humbly before God, asking His adventure into this matter, and the strength that we have we thank God for? Or do we go about our daily walk of life in such a way as, well, it's already a decided factor, it's already been, I don't need to think about God in prayer, I don't need to think about prayer at all, I don't need to consider the Lord in what I'm fixing to do and be. Wait a minute. Are we not taking too much on ourselves and not giving enough to God for the things that take place in our lives? Let's think about that. And as we think tonight in this regard, a song of invitations provided. If anyone's subject to Jesus' invitation and our love for you and greatness for you, we beg you to come to Jesus and follow Him. Remember that Simon in Acts 8:22 was one who said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things you've spoken may come upon me, Simon Peter. And thus he did that. And thus this man was restored to his first love that he had. When he messed up and thought that he would just, by that power of the apostleship, he just did something that was not right. But instead of going back and being rebaptized 5 or 6 times before he got right with the Lord, the Lord's fellowship with him was of such nature that if he prayed and repented, he would be forgiven. And that's the way that God wants to work in our daily walk of life too. Come to Jesus as we stand and sing together.
All things are ready.
Jesus, our blessed Redeemer, sing, O Lord. wonderful love proclaim. Hail him, hail him, highest archangels in glory, strength and honor give to his holy name. Light of heaven, Jesus will guard his children in his arms, he carries them all day long. Praise him, tell him his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, your day that we have the opportunity and the privilege to worship thee. Father, it's our prayer that our worship today has been acceptable. Father, as we prepare to leave, we pray that you would be with those that are hurting, those that are ill. Father, we pray for those that have lost loved ones. Father, you know each and every need, and we pray that you'd meet those needs. Father, we pray that you would be with us as we go into the week, and Father, how we all have a good, profitable week. Father, we pray that you would keep us in thy care and bring us back when you need to follow us.